Hello and welcome back to ELAG. My name is Tony Ajayi and I'm so glad to have you here. The title of today's podcast is Who's Guiding Your Next Move? So I'll be talking about decision making and the importance of seeking godly wisdom. At some point in life, we will all make decisions. We will decide on where to live, where to work, who to marry, who to be friends with, how to manage our finances, what church to attend, when to have children and how many, and the list is endless. Now, these decisions will be based on something, right? How can we make decisions that are godly and aligned with God's will? What is the basis for the decisions that we make? I would like to divide the basis of our decision making into two groups. One, our convictions, and two, our inclinations. So, our convictions. These are moral principles that guide our actions and our conduct, and they are a core part of our belief system. So, a good question is, what is the basis for what you believe in? And as believers, that should always be the Word of God. Not books, not our experiences, or even the experiences of others. Our convictions should always be based on the Word of God, which means we need to know the Word of God for ourselves before we can use it as the pillar of our lives. Next is our inclinations, and these are decisions that we make based on our likes and dislikes. In other words, our preferences. So, for instance, you may be inclined to clock in before you actually arrive at work, or you may change a few figures at work to gain rewards, or you may decide to cohabit with your partner when you're not legally married because you're trying to save money. Or it could be that you're lying to get what you want. Either ways, you're operating based on circumstance, feelings, desires, and you're operating in such a way that it brings you profit or gain. And now this could be very dangerous and destructive because there is no real sense of direction, clarity, and guidance. Let's look at the life of two men in the Bible. One made a decision based on convictions and another based on his inclinations. The first man is Daniel, and this story is summed up in Daniel chapter 6 verses 10 to 23. I will not be reading the whole text, but you can go through that when you have some time. So Daniel faced a very serious situation when he refused to abandon his convictions despite a royal decree. Now, the king at the time had issued an order that no one should pray to anyone else except him for 30 days. But Daniel continued to pray to God as he always did. And he did not do this in secret, so everyone saw him, right? So his haters reported him to the king, and as a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. Despite this risk, Daniel's faith remained unshaken, and eventually God protected him, and he lived even longer after that. This simple story shows us how God honors and protects those who are steadfast in their convictions. Next is Gehazi, and his story is summed up in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 to 27. Now, there was a man who was a Syrian commander called Naaman, and he had just been healed of leprosy by the prophet Elisha. Now, in appreciation, Naaman offered gifts to the prophet Elisha, who declined and refused to accept the commander's gifts. But Gehazi, who was a servant of the prophet, secretly went after the commander and lied that his master changed his mind and wanted the gifts, so he took them from the commander. Of course, it became ugly for Gehazi because he was struck with leprosy as a punishment. We can see that Gehazi's actions, driven by greed, involved not just disobeying his master but also telling a lie. And this scenario is very similar to how we might act when we deliberately stray from God's instructions. Are there certain areas in our lives in which we should have immovable convictions? I think so, and I will point out two for the sake of time. The first is money, and I know this is a very touchy subject for a lot of people, but we have to talk about it. Now, money should never be an idol or God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 that we cannot be equally devoted to both God and money. If we have to lie, cheat, or hurt others to get money, are we going to do it? Next is marriage. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 verse 14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" An unequal yoke here refers to marrying someone who does not share your faith in God, or whose core values significantly differ from yours. So if you meet someone who thinks it's okay to lie, cheat, gossip, slander, or hate people for no reason, then that might be an unequal yoke. And I must add that it is not your obligation to change anyone. That is a job for Jesus. So this principle does not only apply to marriage, but to other kinds of relationships that we have. Our convictions in these areas must be unshakable. And I've seen that a lot of times, young people especially are unable to live by the principles of the Word of God because of the fear of what others might think, and also because of the fear of rejection. But as long as we are more worried about what others think than what God thinks, we'll never make wise decisions. So if the basis of our life decisions is not the Word of God, we will always be in error. And once we make decisions based on our convictions centered on God's Word, it won't really matter what anyone else thinks. It almost feels like the opinions of others would pale in significance to what God really wants us to do, or what God will have us do at that point. So if you notice that your decisions keep backfiring or keep going wrong, it's important to ask yourself, what do I really believe? Are my core values in line with God's Word? Are the people I'm getting advice from and hanging out with in tune with God's guidance? Now, the scriptures give us very solid guidance on how to live. Often our own preferences don't line up with God's standards because we're human and our flesh always wants to act on its own. So it takes discipline, strong principles, and God's grace to be able to stick to His Word. And yes, when you choose to follow God's direction, you probably hit some bumps here and there because the enemy will try to stop you. But remember, we serve a very powerful God who pulls us back from the enemy's grasp. I love the scripture in Psalms 18, verses 16 to 17 that says, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." I still laugh when I remember a time in my life when God literally moved heaven and earth to rescue me from a decision that could have completely destroyed me. So, when you are in your own tough spot and you don't know which way to turn, remember to pray, "Lord, let your will be done." It is one of the most powerful prayers a believer can make. It literally sets everything right. So when you commit to letting God's wisdom guide your decisions, He will definitely back you up. He will send His angels to shake up every part of your life to make sure that you are aligned with His will. And I must say that being in God's will is the most crucial place to be. And there's nothing and no one on this earth that is worth being outside of it. I'll say that again. There is nothing on this earth that is worth being outside of God's will. So, on a final note, seeking God's will and trusting His guidance will always lead us to the right path. And remember, there's no decision that is too small to commit to God's hands. God is interested in every area of our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We ask that you guide us in every decision that we need to make today and even this week. We ask that you align our hearts with your will and grant us wisdom and clarity. Help us to trust in your plan and to stay faithful to your path. we ask that you help us to follow your direction, and may your grace cover us in every choice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining, and till next time, God bless you.